Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are so very delighted that you welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you, so you can send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. And as we approach the memorial of Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus on July 29th, we want to reflect on the beautiful friendship that they had with Jesus Christ in the Gospels. Jesus didn't just teach this family, he loved them. He visited with them, he shared meals with them, he stood by them in moments of joy and sorrow. So our question for today's show is this: what lessons can we draw from Jesus's friendship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? And the memorial of the saints is July 29th, which will be this week. And we're excited to be here this day on this beautiful Monday. You and I are gonna be celebrating our 49th wedding anniversary on Thursday of this week. And so we're excited about that. Time flies when you're having fun.
I'm having fun, absolutely.
So, and we're gonna have a great guest on our show this week, so I'm looking forward. We're gonna have a great week for you, so keep it on EWTN.
I think we have a word here. We'd like to take a moment to remind you that EWTN is only made possible through the generosity of viewers like you. If EWTN has strengthened your faith and blessed your family, we humbly ask you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to EWTNmission.com, EWTNmission.com, so we may continue to bring Christ's message to the world. As Mother Angelica used to say, please keep us between your gas and electric bill. We can't do this without you. You can go to EWTNmission.com to donate. And thank you, all of you, already, for what you've given and you're giving into the future. Continue to pray for EWTN. So we'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome. Well, the theme for today's show is this: what lessons can we draw from Jesus's friendship with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus? And the memorial for Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus is this week on July 29th. And I think one of the beautiful things, as the gospel shared, is that Jesus loved them. Now, he had his apostles, right? He had his guys around him who we loved. He had Mary Magdalene, who we loved dearly. But these were two sisters and a brother. They were his friends. They were his peers. He loved them. He would go to their home. They would cook for him. They would be with them. He probably could let down and laugh with them. You know, you know those people in your circle of your life where you say, those are my friends. We have a lot of acquaintances, right? But Jesus loved them, and he wanted to be with them, and he enjoyed their company, and I'm sure he fed their souls, but they also fed the human side, the humanity of who Jesus was as a man. And he wanted friendship. He wanted to have friends, right? As we all do. And in life, if you want a friend, you gotta be a friend. And they had a wonderful relationship, as you could see some of the dialogue in the gospel that Martha and Mary had with Jesus, right? And you know, in the way, if you were here, Lord, this wouldn't have happened when Lazarus died. And you know how they, I mean, you wouldn't say that. You're thinking, as you read it, as for me, I'm thinking, she's talking to our Lord. But at that point, it was her friend. She knew he was God, but yet she knew him as God-man and who he was to her. And she felt comfortable in and of her person to be able to say that to him. And it was like, Lord, you took too long to get here. It's too late now. Like, this is just a mess. And then how she went after her, because how Martha went after Mary. Jesus because of, you know, Mary was just sitting at his feet and she wasn't helping him. And but, you know, that's such a beautiful relationship. You can only say that to someone who you know loves you unconditionally and who wants the best for you, which eventually Jesus always did what was best and spoke a beautiful word to Mary. He spoke a beautiful word to Martha. And he spoke a beautiful word to Lazarus, right?
Yes, he called him back from the dead. Lazarus, rise up. Mm-hmm. And he came forth alive. Unwrap him. And so they had this incredible relationship. And then poor Lazarus, because he's a friend of Jesus, after he's risen from the dead, as they're going into, they're making plans to kill him because it was such a witness to Jesus Christ. Wow.
He was going to be persecuted for that, right?
Yeah, they're going to kill him.
Right. And, he's like, wait a minute, I was just dead. The guy, you know, just think of how these human beings, as they were, responded in the dialogue of their life and of their love for Jesus and Jesus for them. And that helps us to be better human beings in how we relate to our friends and care and love for them too.
So speaking about friendship, anyone yearning for friendship? Are you experiencing friendship with other people? Would Jesus have desire to come to your home? How are we consecrating our homes to the Lord? And maybe you have stories about how your family did that. Joy's family was very open to people, so was my family. People who came in, a place to let down, a place of trust, a place you could really share. And we want to pray a prayer regarding Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus as we're thinking about friendship. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you had lots of friends at some time. Maybe as you've gotten older, it seems like fewer and fewer friends. It not only seems like,
they're dying.
But the truth is that there's more people that have passed from this life to the next that were your friends. And so may Christ's friendship come to you. May he visit with you today. Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, you befriended Jesus as your Lord and God and as the Son of Man, to whom you opened your home and your lives. Please pray for me, that I will also open the home of my soul so as to befriend him who is my God and is the resurrection and is the life. Saints Martha, Mary, Lazarus, pray for me. Pray for all those that are viewing us here today. Imagine them praying for you, Martha, Mary, Lazarus, the special friends of Jesus, and they're praying for you. Jesus, I trust in you.
You know, and you said, and we've experienced this, I know you especially have, you know, we've had friends in the past 6 months that have died. I mean, dear male friends to you and mutual friends to you and I. You know, and that, it just grieves your heart. And you go on and you live, but you have, there's a part of that missing, that no person can fill that void, especially, and we pray for their widowed wives and for their journey of as they walk through their valley of tears. But you know, every day and every season and stage and phase of our lives, Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. And one of the great works that the Holy Spirit does in our lives is one, when we ask him to come, he counsels us. He comforts us. Wherever you are, you might be in a nursing home, you might be in the hospital, you might be surrounded by family and friends, you might be at work. What kind of friend are you being? What is your light like? Are you trying to be friendly? Are you being grumpy? Are you full of despair? Are you angry that you have no friends? Well, make new friends, right? You have to, in the season that you're in the hand that God has dealt you, wherever you are in your life, whether you're widowed, whether you're alone, whether you have family, friends around you, whether you're young and vibrant and working, you always have the opportunity to be a friend.
Yeah.
And you want to be the friend the way Jesus was a friend, as he was to Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He was intimate with them. You can't be intimate with everybody, right? You're not supposed to be. But there's probably a handful, right? A handful of people in your whole long life that you've lived, or maybe short life, that will go the distance with you. But you want to be a friend. You want to pray for them. You want to care about them. You want to say, hey, how are you doing? And not just how are you doing, but how are you doing?
Yeah.
How are things? Reveal your heart to me. Or you may be praying for your friend and they're in a different season of your life and you're praying for them, you're interceding for them, and your spirit is stirring about them. Mm-hmm. Pick up the phone and call them. Right. In this day of immediate texting as we do. Hey, you're on my heart. You're in my thoughts and prayers, just thinking about you.
Yeah.
So that they don't feel alone and abandoned, and in ways that you can nurture friendships.
Well, you've been a good friend to so many people, and especially those who are older than we are, and we're getting pretty old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of take them on to encourage them, and you call them, and you attend to them. So especially for the elderly, for those who've lost their spouses or possibly children and friends that have passed on, pick up the phone and call them. Encourage their hearts. Speak to them. Let them know of your love. Pope Francis, we have a quote here from him, who kind of established this day as a memorial to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He said this on July 21st, 2019. The wisdom of the heart lies precisely in knowing how to combine these two elements, contemplation and action. Martha and Mary indicate the path to us. If we want to savor life with joy, we must associate these two approaches. On the one hand, being at the feet of Jesus in order to listen to him as he reveals to us the secret of everything. On the other hand, being attentive and ready in hospitality. When he passes and he knocks at our door with the face of a friend who needs a moment of rest and fraternity. Absolutely beautiful. Contemplation and action, hospitality, care for others. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone opens to me, I will come into him and I'll have fellowship, I'll sup with him and he with me. How many times has Christ knocked on the door and we don't know the sound of it? So yeah, maybe you are really isolated and alone. Maybe you are in, you know, a nursing home, or maybe you're in jail, a jail of your own making, or a literal jail for something. You know, Jesus wants to knock. He wants to knock on your door. Jesus said, I not only call you, you know, servants, you're not just servants, you're my friends. So he's doing his part on his end to be your friend. And you just can't keep saying, well, why would you want to be my friend? I'm just such a bad person, this and that. And he continues to knock and knock. He's just like, stop it. I know you from the inside out. I know how many days you have left. I know what's gone into your life, various situations and circumstances. Receive me. Receive me. It's a beautiful thing. And Jesus, you know, it's so amazing. Like, why do we have these stories about these? Jesus has been eternally living in family, right? So he wasn't isolated, Jesus. He's one of the three persons of the Trinity, of the divinity. One divinity, three persons. But he was always at home. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in family. That was the way I came to understand the Trinity. I just couldn't get it, all the different illustrations. And I said, oh, God's a family. And then he wants to make families with us, with most of us. A man and a woman, complementarity, giving their lives forever to one another. And if God graces with a gift, or they do, they have a child. And there's the Trinity. And so Jesus was a human being. And we always say, you know, God doesn't need anything or anyone. He invites us into things. But maybe in his humanity, Jesus needed some things. And so he cried out to the Father, if this can pass from me, let it pass from me. Not my will, your will be done. It seems like he needed some people around him on the cross supporting him. His mother, Mary Magdalene, John, others there with him. As he cried out to God, why are you forsaking me? And so he needed this fellowship. He desired this fellowship because he was a social creature. We as human beings are social creatures. You know, no man is an island. That we need other people. This is the way God's made us. To give and to receive, to give and to receive, to be compassionate to other people, to give your life away. So Jesus was giving his life away to the Father, to the Spirit to Jesus, and so on. They didn't focus on themselves. They were continually giving themselves away. And they say, this is what it means to be made in the image and likeness of God, that you are a relational being. No matter what people tell you, you say, you think, you need other people. Some in the most profound ways, lots of people, and some in very simple ways as people come into your room while you're in the hospital or wherever you are, that somehow you're saying, you know, I want to welcome them. I want to be a friend to them. When you come into them, you're on the other side of this. You want to have friendship to the degree that you can have it. There's various degrees of friendship. But always, we want to be in relationship and respectful because every person is irreplaceable. Maybe not what they do. That could be replaceable. But you can never replace another human being with another human being in terms of their particular makeup. Do you understand? There's nobody like you. In all of creation, there's never been anybody like you. There will never be anybody like you again. Be you. To the best of your ability that you can do that. I'm so weak. I'm so sick. I'm so whatever. Just be what you are now. And in the midst of your weakness, God will show up and show out in you. You still have a work to do. And may we encourage one another with words such as these. So we're going to stop at that point. There's plenty more to come. We'll be right back. But be a friend of Jesus and he'll be a friend of you. Consecrate the home of your heart and your physical homes to the Lord. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, now we're going to go to Joan Lewis to hear her latest report on the current events with Pope Leo. Joan, what do you have for us today?
Well, greetings from Castel Gandolfo. I've had a super wonderful, relaxing weekend in this beautiful hill town overlooking Lake Albano, which, of course, is an extinct volcano. It is so quiet and it's so cool. A lot cooler temperatures than Rome. And it's just been a thrill. My main destination really was Sunday, and that was to attend the Angelus of Pope Leo. Now, of course, it was very crowded, but it was wonderful. It was supposed to be pouring rain, and that didn't happen, thank the Lord. But there was a huge crowd, as there has been every Sunday since he's been vacationing in the Apostolic Palace that overlooks the main town square, Piazza della Libertà. In any case, Sunday morning, I went over about 10:30. The piazza was almost full by that time, and I was able to be with a couple of journalist colleagues for a while in a back little garden area of a coffee bar, instead of standing in the heat of the square for 90 minutes. In any event, the crowd just kept getting more enthusiastic, and a couple of songs were heard. There were people from, I can't tell you how many different languages and dialects that I heard. But in any event, when the Pope did finally, at exactly noon, appear on the steps of the Apostolic Palace, there was a roar, absolute roar of approval. And of course, we listened to his words. We prayed the Angelus with him. And afterwards, he did note a couple of things. He spoke about the fires in Spain and in France. And he mentioned that, of course, today, he mentioned that Sunday was the 6th World Day of Grandparents and the Elderly, and you could hear some applause in the crowd for those words. He also spoke of situations around the world, crises, wars, etc. In any event, it was a very wonderful day, and I've learned through Mass, the pastor of the parish said that the Holy Father will be back here for August 15th for the Feast of the Assumption, And if as a parishioner you want to go, you have to fill out a specific form. And then I also learned that actually the Holy Father is going back to Rome, coming back to Rome today, the 27th. But he will be back at Laudato Si in Villa Barberini because Andrea Bocelli is offering a concert on the 29th, the evening of the 29th, at Laudato Si, and there's going to be a chorus of 160 young people from the ages of 9, I think it's to 16, from the Holy Land, from Uganda, and from Italy. So they're going to be singing their version of St. Francis's prayer, the Canticle of Peace. So lots of interesting things on the Pope's agenda for future days. And that's about it. I have about 20 minutes more of information, but time's up. So back to you.
Joan, thanks so much. That was a beautiful report. We could tell you just love being there. We felt like we were there ourselves. So thank you so much for bringing Castel Gandolfo and the Holy Father to us. Be sure to join us on Wednesday when we're joined by Dr. Paul Voss to speak with us about the power and beauty of the written word in classic texts like Shakespeare and the life of St. Ambono. So he's going to be sharing with us, and as we were preparing for his time, you know, he speaks a lot about the classics and about the humanities. And I had to look up what are the humanities, different ways of history and philosophy and art and writing and other ways, how God speaks to us, and that we need to continue to seek the Lord through the humanities and through classics and especially the Holy Scriptures. So it's going to be a great show, and Dr. Voss is on fire. He's not just simply an academic. I mean, he believes this. He's bringing this to other people on college campuses, various places, and he's a person that's in great demand, and we're privileged to have him with us. You're an important part of the CW10 family, not just a part, you're a friend to the network, and we're friends to you. All together, we're trying to establish a new culture of life, marriage, and the family. God bless you and all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.